Okay. Welcome once again to the Richmond Road Baptist Church, and this probably will be our final session of the Trail of Blood. We're going to show these slides, but before I get to that, let me tell you that you can't see me, and I'm not sorry of that, but because of, we're going to be showing these slides, and you can hear my voice. You've got questions, comments, or even criticisms, we'd welcome your comments. And so we're going to continue on. Before I get in the slides, you can see there's one up there right now, and I will explain the slides, but I didn't get these to you. We talked about Arnold of Brescia in the 12th century, the man that was known for preaching the liberty of the gospel and political liberty. J. Newton Brown, the fellow who wrote that New Hampshire Confession of Faith that most of us use, he said this, 700 years since truth and Rome together strove, since heaven beheld Italia's tears, and Arnold spoke the words we love. He spoke, and Italy arose, thrilled by her prophet's voice of flame. Religion triumphed over her foes, and freedom sung her Arnold's name. But ah, the martyr's voice was hushed. His ashes strewed the Tiber's flood. Truth, freedom, right, by power were crushed, and Rome was drunk with holy blood. Let you know that I'm not by myself in all this. And then I have another one here. I'll get you, but I wanted to say this. My four points that I started with, my four scientific points, a scientific, scientific method. Number one, making an observation. We made our observation reading Matthew 28 and Matthew 16, and our observation was this, that the Lord talked about his kind of church and his perpetuating it day by day until he comes and receives it unto himself. That was our observation. Now, we formed a hypothesis, and our hypothesis was this, that we should be able to find evidence of his kind of church in every century since then. And then thirdly, we'll conduct an experiment, and our experiment has been going through these things that I brought. Now, I by no means have given everything that could be given. This could go on and on and on. It's a gigantic study. But I think that we've seen enough, that we've seen real evidence there, and then we're going to analyze the results, and we'll do that shortly. Now, there's some other things here that I wanted to talk about real quick. We talked about the traveling church. And I believe this state marker number 25, you can Google this and get the state markers, get them by number and the location. I believe this is down in Garrett County, close to where the church is that came from the traveling church. And here it is. Fall and winter of 1781, it says, quote, in search of religious freedom, the Lewis Craig led, they've got an R there, it's for Reverend, we don't use Reverend. Lewis Craig led his entire congregation of 200 Baptists and 400 other settlers from Spotsylvania County, Virginia, and established them here on Gilbert's Creek, and that church that's there is the Gilbert's Creek Baptist Church. But now we said that the original church left that location and moved to Fayette County over by where Military and King Pike are. But then they got rooked out of their building by the Campbellites in the 1800s. And then they had to move to Fort Springs, on Versailles Road. But let me finish this. This expedition got it through the wilderness by Captain William Ellis, was the largest group of pioneers ever to enter the District of Kentucky in a single body, unquote. So we've got a great history in this state. We really do. I've got a couple other things I wanted to talk about. We talked about the Council of Trent. And that was in the 16th century. It was called as a result of the Protestant Reformation after Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses. And here is what the Council of Trent said about transubstantiation, the Mass of the Catholic Church. It says, quote, "If anyone shall deny that the body and blood together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore entire Christ, are truly, really, and substantially contained in the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist, and say that he is only in it as a sign or in a figure, let him be accursed," and that means to be damned. And that was the Vatican Council in 1963. Justified that. It's still in effect today. So if you deny that the priest can turn the body or turn the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ, literally, said you must be damned. That's what they say now. Now, this is what's going on now. People need to know. You can't sweep this stuff under the rug. It's still there. Millions were murdered in the past because they rejected the Mass, and many more will die in the future. So I wanted to get all that out here before we see the these slides. I've got a little bit more. Am I going to do? Okay. Remember I talked about the orders. We first talked about the Dominicans and the Franciscans, and they were the ones who devised the tortures of the Inquisition. Now, I admit that there were others tortured besides Baptists, but they were the main ones, those that believed like Baptists. And the Loyola, or Ignatius of Loyola, is the one who started the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus. And it turns out that they are the army, the KGB of the Pope. And this is from Alberto Rivera. He was a priest that took this oath, and then the Lord saved him. He came out from it, and he wrote several books, and Chick Publications prints them. But since that time, he has disappeared. Nobody knows where he is. He's probably dead. Now, he said, when a Jesuit of the minor rank is to be elevated to command, he is conducted into the chapel of the convent of the order, where there are only three others present, and then on either side stands a monk, one of whom holds a banner of yellow and white, which are the papal colors, Pope's colors, and the other a black banner with a dagger and red cross above a skull and crossbones. Now, do you remember what was the flag of the pirate ships? The skull and crossbones. This is not a coincidence. Now, and they had the word INRI on it. You pass by a man of war, you get way out there just before you get to Broadway, you look over to the left. There's a big Catholic church. They got a cross up there that says I-N-R-I. They say, well, that's what was on the cross. It is not what was on the cross. You read the Bible, it tells you above Jesus' head, it said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." They say, oh, well, that's just the Latin words abbreviated. It says plainly that it was there in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And there's no way that you can abbreviate the three different languages, that many words, with four letters. Here's what that means. Justum necar reges impios. And here's what that means. It is just to exterminate or annihilate impious or heretical kings, governments, or rulers. That is the watchword of the Jesuits. It is not what was on the cross. There's no way, shape, matter, or form that that tells you what that is. Now, here's part. I've got the whole thing here, but it says, from the superior, my son, heretofore you've been taught to act the dissembler. A dissembler is a person who gives a false or misleading appearance or who fakes or pretends connecting fraud and phony. They're a fraud and a phony. You've been taught to act the dissembler among Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic, and to be a spy even among your own brethren, to believe no man, to trust no man, among the reformers to be a reformer, among the Huguenots, I talked to you about the Huguenots, to be a Huguenot. You know, there was 565 of them hacked to death down at just above St. Augustine, Florida, in the 16th century. Among the Calvinists, to be a Calvinist, among other Protestants, generally to be a Protestant. In other words, to go in amongst these people and fake it that you're one of them. And they're working as we speak today. There's so much here, but I can't, don't have time to do it all. For example, it says, the end justifies the means. Do you know who taught that? The communist. Marx. Karl Marx. The end justifies the means. Doesn't matter what you have to do to get to this end. And that is a watchword of the Jesuits. It says that we be all things to all men for the Pope's sake, whose servants we are unto death. You know what Adolf Hitler demanded of all of his henchmen? Their enslavement to him, even to the death. That was demanded of all of them. That's what dictators do. He talks about this army of Loyola. The Pope, now here's what they say, that His Holiness, I declare and swear that His Holiness, the Pope, is Christ's vice regent and is the true and only head of the Catholic or universal church throughout the earth. I'm just hitting and missing here. I do further declare the doctrines of the churches of England, Scotland, of the Calvinists, of Huguenots, and others of the name Protestants or liberals to be damnable, and they themselves damned who will not forsake the same. I do further promise to declare that I will have no opinion or will of my own or any mental reservation, whatever, even as a corpse or cadaver, but will unhesitatingly obey each and every command that I may receive from my superiors in the militia of the Pope and of Jesus Christ. That's the Jesuits. That I may go to any part of the world, whithersoever I may be sent, to the frozen regions of the north, the burning sands of the desert of Africa, or the jungles of India, to the centers of civilization of Europe, or to the wild haunts of the barbarous savages of America, without murmuring or repining, and will be submissive in all things whatsoever communicated to me. I further promise to declare that I will, when opportunity present, make and wage relentless war secretly, openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth. Those are the words that the Nazis used of the death camps. And that I will spare neither age, sex, condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics. Rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women and crush their infants' heads against the wall in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. He's talking about us. And everybody like us, that when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poison cup, the strangulating cord, the steel of the poignard, that's a sword, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed so to do by any agent of the Pope or Superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus, in confirmation of which I hereby dedicate my life, my soul, and all my corporal powers. With this dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my own blood. These questions and answers. Whom do you serve? The Holy Father at Rome, the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church Universal throughout the world. Who commands you? The successor of St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus, or the soldiers of Jesus Christ? Do you take an oath? I did. Or did you take an oath? I did. To destroy heretics and their governments and rulers, and to spare neither age, sex, nor condition, to be as a corpse, without any opinion or will of my own, but to implicitly obey my superiors in all things without hesitation and murmuring. He said, where you travel? To obey the orders of my general and superiors and execute the will of the Pope and faithfully fulfill the conditions of my oath. And that's where that's from. That's Alberto Rivera back there. I don't know about you all, but that kind of sets my teeth on edge. All right, our first slide. Let's go through this. Now, I'll tell you, these slides are from the book Martyr's Mirror. Great big book, excellent book. I don't know whether they're still in print or not, but you can get them all. You can pull it up online. But here they are. This first, these are wood cuttings. They didn't have cameras this far back. But these wood cuttings are true. People were very careful with them. I've got one here from the Encyclopedia Britannica. Their article on wood cuttings in the Encyclopedia Britannica. They tell you what an art this was, making these wood cuttings to print these pictures, because they didn't have cameras. But how faithful they were, and how you can trust them. So here we have this. This would be Stephen being stoned at Jerusalem, AD 34. These all come from the Martyr's Mirror. Next. Enlarge that there. That's the first time I've ever done like this, and I like this. I usually just use an old-fashioned slab projector, but I'm old-fashioned. This is James the Apostle being beheaded at Jerusalem in 45. Now, remember the persecutions against the Lord's people, the Lord's churches, at first came from the pagans and the Jews. So that's what you'll see now. All right, this is, Apostle James, next. This next one is Philip the Apostle being stoned at Phrygia about 54 AD. Now we know that pretty much sure that all of the apostles died a martyr's death, and we'll see most of them here. Next. This is Mark being dragged to death and burned in Alexandria, Egypt, about 64. Next. That was Mark dragged to death. Look at the fish hooks. Or they're meat hooks they put in and dragged. And so, horrible, being dragged to death and burned. Next. This is Peter. We're pretty sure this is the way it went down. Peter wouldn't allow himself to be crucified right up, so he said upside down. And that's how they got rid of the Apostle Peter. And that would be about 69 AD in Rome. It was by Nero. It wasn't in Rome. We don't know. He was never in Rome. Paul was beheaded, the next one. There's Paul on his knees there, and there's the backsword that's going to cut his head off. And I know the Muslims do that today, right today. So this is not that far-fetched, not at all. Next. Andrew crucified on that key cross, looks like an X. And that's in Achaia, that's Asia Minor, about 70 AD. Next. Thomas being tortured and burned alive and that been put in that furnace, and that was in Ethiopia. No, that was in Kalamina in India, and that's about 70 AD. Next. There's Matthew going to be beheaded, and that's in Ethiopia in 70 AD. And there he is, laid out there like that. And there's the man going to chop his head off there. Next. That's called Simon the Zealot. He's going to be crucified. There's the cross there that he's going to be on. So there was a lot of the crucifixion. The difference in the crucifixion of Christ is he was the sinless Son of God, and he was put there by the wrath of God to pay for all the sins of all of his people. Next. That is, I'm not sure which one that is. Luke. No, it's not Luke. He's been crucified anyway. Go to the next one now. Now, that's Luke. He was hanged in Greece about 93 AD. The beloved physician, that's how he ended up. Next. And there's Antipas. Now, if you read Revelation 2, in the church of Pergamos, you see Antipas, my servant. And that's how he died right there. Roasted alive. It was in Pergamos under the reign of Domitian about 95 AD. And that's when the book of the Revelation was written. At the end of the reign of Domitian, 95. It was not written at 70 AD. It's written in 95 AD. Next. And there's old man John, the apostle. He's what? He's 95 years old there. And he's banished to the Isle of Patmos. That's about 95, 96 AD. Next. Vitalis. And there he is being buried alive. That's at Ravenna in 99. Ravenna's right close to Rome in Italy. Next. There's Ignatius being devoured by wild animals in Rome at 111. I've been right there to the Colosseum, and you can see where the animals were and all that. You see where it's all done. There's nothing fake about all that. That's real. Next. And this is Phocas. He's thrown in a lime kiln. No, that's not the wrong one. That's the wrong one. This is all. This is under Emperor Maximus, and he ordered thousands to be burned. And there it is. They got the bars across the doors. It's full of people, of believers, and they can't get out. And there they have set it on fire and burned them alive in that building. Horrible way to go, folks. Anyway, next. That's Clement the Scotsman. See, now we've got out of the first century. Now we've got up first, second, and third century. Now we're up to the 8th century. Now we're up to the 11th century, 1022. No, that's 736, Clement the Scotsman, the next one. Oh, wait, back that up, brother, can you? Now, I want you to see this. You see this fella here? Right here. Look at his head. Look what he's got up there. He's got a loaded cross up there. This is a Catholic priest, probably a Dominican. And he has ordered the law to burn this man at the stake. And that's the way they did it. And remember, one of them said something about two swords. Do you remember me reading about two swords? That's one sword, and the law is the other sword. And the Pope said he had the charge over all of it. All right, so next. figure out which one this is. That must be, hang on. I can't figure out which one that, there's the one that's going to die. They got more. I think this is where 14 of them are burned. Yeah, the next, okay, there's 14 of them. Yeah, there's one, two, three, four. There's a bunch of them. They're going to be burned alive there. And that would be in Orleans, France, in 1022. Okay, next. Yeah, and this is William White. There, they, you know, those wood pieces, logs laying there around that post where they're going to tie him to it. William White is his name, and that's in Norwich, England, in 1428. But those were called faggots, F-A-G-G-O-T-T-S. And I know what that word means today, but that's what it originally meant. And they filthed it up with their garbage. And they're going to tie him to that stake and burn him. But I want you to look right back here. Do you see that fellow standing? He's got that fish head on of the Pope, of a cardinal. Look at his staff up there. He's the one ordering all this to be done, but it's the local law officers that's doing it. And they're going to burn that man at the stake. But notice this. He was a pastor. He was a preacher. His wife continued in his ministry. Don't you love her? Okay. Next. Yeah, there's two Anabaptist girls right there tied up going in. And Bamberg in 1550. I guess there's a stake there they're going to burn there. But notice again, look up there. The fellow with the staff with that loaded cross. You know who that is. All right, go next. Next one. All right. There's another stake. There's your man there. There's your monk or your priest right there. Ordered. There's the man right there. His name is Willem Johns. Anyway, from Bamberg, Amsterdam. He's tortured and gagged and burned alive. All right. Next. Oh, you see, well, there's a Jesuit right there. There's that black outfit and that hat on there. That's a Jesuit leaning against that wall. But here's our man right here. Well, it's a woman there. That's Ursel. And then her husband, Anna Hinton, she's being stretched. See, she's hanging by her arms and being beat there. How long do you think you could hang like that? What happens, eventually your shoulders rip out of joint. But you're still hanging there. You could never use your arms ever again if you got down, but she's going to hang there until she dies. Next. Now, this is Anna Hendricks. She's there on that ladder. Now, look what they get very innovative here. There's your priest in there. You see them there at the staff. And what they're doing now, they got the fire going, and they're just going to throw her over. And she's going to fall face down in that fire. What do you think she's going to experience before she dies? She'll die, but she's going to experience some awful pain there before she does. They're getting rid of this varmint, these vermin, insects. That's what they're being treated like. Next. This one. It's from Antwerp, that's in Holland. This is Hans Knevel right here. He's going to be burned alive. And you've got these holy guys standing around there. That's in 1572. And the next one. Here we go. There she is being buried alive. Look, one, two, three. Four, and there's another one there. They're all Jesuits. See those black outfits? That's the army of Jesus. And what they're doing, they're trying to get her to say that she repents of believing the truth, but she's not going to live. But they're trying to get her to repent. Anna Vandenhove, buried alive by the Jesuits in 1597. There you see, she's already buried up to her neck. Anyway, next one. All right, here's one. This is Gele Canelosis in 1572. He's being stretched, and ultimately he'll be burned. But see, he's got one arm hanging, and he's got a weight on his left leg. His right arm's hanging. He's hanging by it. And that weight, what do you think he's going through? Death will be a blessing to him. Anyway, this next one, yeah. Can we get the blurry? It's a little blurry.
I can't do anything.
All right. This is a picture that came from Encyclopedia Britannica. This is called the hanging tree. This is put in that article in the Encyclopedia Britannica to give an example of wood cuttings, because it is an art, people that study that. And there are quite a few people that do that. But now, this is not a Christmas tree, folks. You see, you got a priest up there who's holding a loaded cross at these people that are being thrown off the branches, but they've got the rope tied around their necks. So you can't even count all of the people that are hanging from that one tree. They put that in there as an example of top quality wood cuttings, but I don't think they knew what they were preserving, because this is absolutely... I found a few instances of it other places too since then. But that is the hanging tree. Can you imagine anything worse? Really can't. All right, then the next one now. This is from Armitage's history, Baptist history. Pretty good history book. But this is a John Badley, is that fellow's name. He's in a barrel. And it's all on fire. He's burning alive right there. And you got your priest over here. See those hats, monks? It's still the two swords. That's what's going on there. He was whipped and then burned alive. Next. Now that's the Bedford prison that John Bunyan was imprisoned in. He was about a total of something like close to 15 years. That he was in there for preaching. And that's under the Episcopalian Church. That's where he wrote the Pilgrim's Progress and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And that was in 1660. So, next. This is Benjamin Keats. This is in England in 1664. Now, Benjamin Keats was a Baptist. And he was put into stocks and beat by the Puritans. The reason why, he was a Baptist. And he wrote articles about Baptist baptism and articles about Baptist Lord's Supper and Baptist church truth. He was a Baptist, and he suffered for being a Baptist. When I taught parables and stuff over at Lexington Baptist College, I used one of his books as a textbook so that the people would have it and they could use it later on. So there's Benjamin Keats. And he's the first one to sing hymns in the church. So that's where that came from. All right. Now, this is Elizabeth Gaunt. She was a Baptist in England, 1685, and she was burned alive there. There she is, been taken. Then you see they're piling the faggots. Now, if they wanted to get you out of here fast, they'd use dried wood because it burned fast. But if they wanted you to suffer, they'd burn green wood, and you'd roast for days, and you'd suffer a long time. Now, the next one. Yeah. Now, this set of slides come from the book, The History of the Evangelical Churches of the Valley of the Piedmont. Let me see here. Yeah. I don't know whether it's still available or not. I've got a copy of it, and it's you can get it on the Baptist History homepage. But these all took place in the Piedmont Valleys of the Swiss and French Alps. In that book, there's a map that pinpoints all of these different places that we'll read about on these slides. And here's the thing. Of all of these, we're not just blowing smoke. We've got names, dates, and places. It's absolute. Now, did I bring that other one? Hang on, just maybe this. Yeah. John Milton is in the class of Shakespeare, William Shakespeare, one of the greatest writers of all time, John Milton. He was a Baptist. And he wrote this poem about this time right here. 1655, Jamestown was started in Virginia in 1607. So this is 1655. We're well into colonial America. Now here's what's going on. Here's what he says. It says, on the late massacre in Piedmont, avenge, O Lord, thy slaughtered saints, whose bones lie scattered on the Alpine mountains cold, even them who kept thy truth so pure of old, when all our fathers worshiped stocks and stones, forget not, in thy book record their groans, who were thy sheep, and in their ancient fold, slain by the bloody Piedmontese that rolled mother with infant down the rocks, their moans, the veils redoubled to the hills, and they to heaven, their martyred blood and ashes sold, o'er all the Italian fields where still doth sway the triple tyrant that from these may grow a hundredfold, who having learnt thy ways early may fly or flee the Babylonian woe. The triple tyrant is the Pope. He had a crown that was a triple crown. And that's who he's talking about. He recorded this. This is not a fabrication at all. All right, this first one. Daniel Cardone of this Roca Pita being taken by some of the soldiers a little above the temple of St. Giovanni. They cut off his head. There's his head right there. And then took out his brains, then frying the same, eat them up. That's what they're doing. They also cut open his stomach and were taking out his heart to fry and eat, but were frightened by some of the poor people's troops that were coming that way. And those people are puking at it. It's so bad, they're puking. But there it is. Give me the next one, please. Margarita Ravel of La Carte, of 85 years old, the mother-in-law of Captain Janula, and Maria, so age 90 and blind, both of St. Giovanni, were taken and in a most barbarous manner burned alive in a place called Les Vignes on one side of Andragna. Let's see. Well, that's not the one here. Yeah, I don't think that's it. Anyway, this is who saw this stuff going on. In this one, this woman who was taken by the soldiers together was drawn upon a cart through the streets of La Torre. As they passed along, some of those sons of blood stabbed their bodies with prongs, pitchforks, and other such like instruments. Others bruised their bodies with flints and afterwards flung their bodies into the river of Andragna, where they soon dispatched them with flints and bats. That's a different picture there. Hang on. I've got these. Give me the next one. Yeah, no, back up. I got, yeah, anyway, I don't know. We're a little bit mixed up on these. I don't know. Anyway, there's this young woman. They've got her dress pulled up, and he's got a knife, and he's taking and ripping up her belly. And there you see she's still alive while he's doing that to her. And there's others laying there that they've already done. Go on to the next one. And there's one they're cutting the breast off. I mean, they're butchers. And this was ordered by the Catholic Church, folks. There's another one getting sword up through there. There they are laid out there. That just is a bloodbath is what it is. Go ahead to the next one. There they got a sword cutting her head off. Got that one hung up by the hands. Next one. And here's one. Let's see. Yeah. Y'all forgive me. What's happening here? There's old man right there. They're taking him up that mountain. Now they're going to throw him off that mountain. Instead of hitting bottom, he hangs there on the tree. And they leave him there to die of exposure. Go ahead to the next one. Now here's a fella. They've cut off his legs. There's one leg gone. Arms and his head. We're really working on him. And then look up here at this road. There's a head and there's bodies and all that. Now there's in the Trail of Blood. There is a statement that there was a road about this time there in Europe someplace that for 30 miles, every foot of the way on both sides of the road was the head of an Anabaptist for 30 miles. Now, people claim there's mistakes in the Trail of Blood. I have not been able to find that exact event. However, doesn't that look a whole lot like it? So I'm positive that it's telling the truth. Go ahead and do another one. There's those two girls, two poor women right there, and they're ripping them up. Babies fall out on the ground, then dragging them by the head, and I guess they'll throw them in the river or burn them. I don't know what they'll do. There's one even up there. All right, go ahead. There's a woman. They're taking her baby from her. And there she is in a cave. They cut her breast off and her tongue out. And there's got the babies up there, and they're throwing them off the cliffs. They cut her hands off and then put them in the fire, stop the bleeding. To starve to death would take them a long time to do it. All right, next. Here's a young girl. They got a spear, a long spear here, and they impale her from her crotch all the way out her head and then put the post up and let her hang there like that. What kind of horror did she feel even before she died? Next. Here, there's a mother watching her babies. There's old soldiers. They're pulling them apart there. They're pulling them apart by legs, your babies, pulling them apart. And there's one bashing its head against that rock. All right, next. Now this fella, they're going to hang him up Here they're carving him up out here against the, I guess first to chase him, now here it is, against that tree, carving him up, got him tied there and working him over. There are some dead babies up there. They probably watched their kids be brutalized before they died. Go ahead. Here's one being dragged by a mule, and look at them. They got flint rocks throwing on her. How long would it take her to die? If one of them rocks doesn't hit her in the head, she's going to live for a while going through all of that. And we got names, dates, and places, folks. This is not a fabrication at all. Go ahead. Here, being buried alive, right here. I mean, there wasn't any end to what kind of tortures they put them to. Next. There's one being chopped up. There's another one. There's a baby being pulled apart. And there's a woman, well, she's running, trying to hide her baby, but they got her. There's the baby, and there she is. There wasn't no getting away from them. Next. This woman being roasted alive, and they did cannibalism. They ate them. She's being roasted alive. See, you don't have to go to the deep, dark jungles of Africa to find cannibals. This is right in good old Europe. Piedmont Valleys. Go ahead, next. This fella, see him hanging there? But they got those ropes tied to his privates. He's hanging by his privates. Next. This old man, about 85 years old, they've cut his hands off, put them in the flame, stopped the bleeding. Now they cut off his ears with a hammer and chisel, and they cut his nose off, cut his tongue out, and then they leave him to die in the snow. He can't do anything to help him. He's got no hands, got no way to do anything. He was an 85-year-old man. Go ahead. Here you got more of them. They're being buried alive there, all three of those. See, it shows kind of like a, there they are, and then that's how they end up. Okay. Next. There's another one. Got that sword there and going to take care of them, buddy. Got that one down there. Next. This one being skinned alive. And they even made lampshades out of the skin. Kind of like the Nazis, wasn't it? Only these are Catholic. There he starts. Then there they got him down. There they skinned him alive. Next. There's one got holding his head up there. They're frying his brains there. They like to eat the hearts and the brains. Next. And this old woman, there's two of them there, being burned alive. Next. These are on a wagon. And boy, until they die, they get everything thrown at them, spears and everything else, riding through a village. Next. There's one being shot. There they are laid out there, one of them running, being just one right up. And there's your Catholics right there. Next. Then these are being thrown into a pot on fire. There they are. Next. There's a bunch of them there, and they're all scattered out over there, every kind of death you can think of. Next. Yeah, that's another of that one. Now I'm ready for that last section, brother. The real pictures. Yeah, here we go. Now this set is, They're real pictures. Brother Paul Mulling, who's now with the Lord, he was a missionary in Peru for a long time. And he asked me, I was somewhere doing the Trail of Blood, he asked me if I'd like to have these pictures, and I said, absolutely. In Lima, Peru, this is probably, I don't remember, the 60s or 70s that he was down there, they got a governor, a president of Peru, that was not a Catholic. And he opened up this Hall of the Inquisition. And people went in there, but you were not supposed to take pictures in there. But he sneaked in there and took pictures. Let me get my... Yeah, here we go. Let me read some of this. Brother Gunn, do hope and pray this finds you with the whole family rejoicing. Talking about going back to Peru. This is in 1991. Here's a copy of the tapes you asked for. He said, in the year 1968, General Velasco, a socialist, took over the nation of Peru by force and sent the president into exile in Argentina. Velasco began to reveal some of the persecution done in Peru by the Roman Catholic Church. So he wasn't a Catholic. The thing shown in these slides took place in the latter part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century. In 1963, under the authority of the New Testament Baptist Church, he was in Lima, and then he talks about him taking these pictures. He wasn't supposed to. Now, I don't guess anybody else outside there has got these pictures. Try to explain these slides. Now, these charts up here are documents. They're all in Peruvian Spanish. These people are spectators walking in there to see them all. Next slide. That is the outside, that statue and all that. This is called the Park of the Inquisition. This is where many were tortured and made a spectacle of, burned at the stake and other such things. And across the park, from the Park of the Inquisition, you can see the Palace of the Inquisition. There it would be there. This is where the people were submitted to a mock trial and sentenced to only God knows what. Next slide. Here is the hall of the Inquisition. That's where the judges sat back there. You got these three crosses up here. All right. Catholic priests and army officials sat to judge the people. In the judgment hall with the desk and chairs in the far end, the crosses were used in passing sentence as a supposed miracle, like they fake everything, an act of God. The top piece of the cross would move back and forth, right to left if innocent, and up and down if guilty, as they stand before that tribunal. Of course, there was someone in the basement pulling cords to make the cross move as desired by the Roman Catholic Church, trying to make believe those crosses were real. Now, go ahead to the next one. Here, this, I think this states, it's all in Spanish. Anyway, the Tribunal of the Holy Office of the Fifth Act of Faith, and this is one of the many listings of the prisoners tried. These are the second, third, fourth, and fifth acts of faith pronounced by the Tribunal of the Holy Office, so-called of the Roman Catholic Church. That is the Inquisition. Next one, please. These are people being tried. You see, one's got an X, X, and then that slash mark. I guess the X one, they're going to die. Wax dummy showing how the prisoners were dressed as they were tried and sentenced. And this is all the original documents, paperwork. Next one. And here it is out in the hallway, the tile hallway and all that. Next. Now, here's some of the people. There and there. They're sitting in those stocks. they were sentenced to be, they would sit. I mean, you're talking about weeks in that, not moving. And then they'll finally kill them. Then go ahead to the next one. These are prisons. These are cells. And whether you can see it or not, those are the bars. These people are standing there. But the space goes back less than 2 foot. And you see there's a prisoner up there. That's all the room they've got, two men. And they've got no facilities. And they were kept in there for a long time. Next one, please. This one's being stretched. Each day they would tighten the ropes. And that would keep the pain going until they finally just died. And there's a priest up there. I don't know whether he's Dominican or a Franciscan, but he's one of them. All right, next. Here we have, this guy's having he's sitting in the chair. There's a priest. There's one on the rack. His feet are in a charcoal pit. His feet are being burned off. Now, this is in the 20th century, folks. If you look at a map, you go directly south from Miami and you end up in Lima, Peru. It's very inexpensive to go to Peru. It's expensive to go to Brazil because Brazil's a lot further away from Miami than Peru is, especially Lima. You can get there fairly cheap. That's how close it was to us in the 20th century. Go ahead, next one, please. Now this is a picture, a painting. There's those guys we just saw sitting in the socks. But behind them, there's a picture of a man whose head is in a stock. And then here's one that's being hung by his arms backwards, behind his back, and they raise him up until the arms just come completely out of joint. Next. There's that one of those prisons, those cells. See how far back? They're very, not in the room at all. They're just on a ledge there. Next. Oh, this is me preaching in Romania. Doing the Trail of Blood in Romania there. See my chart up there? All right, next. And that's the pastor of that church in Victoria, Romania. That's right in the Transylvania Mountains, real close to Dracula's castle. All right. That's the Parthenon at Athens, Greece. But then next, show the next one. Now, and that's the Acropolis. They're working on it. The Parthenon's up here, and the Acropolis is down here. Now, show the next one. There's the steps. There I am right there. Those steps lead up to Mars Hill, where Paul preached the 17th chapter of Acts. That's the best part of my trip right there. I stood where Paul preached. I didn't go up there to see the pagan Colosseum. Once you've seen a fluted column, you've seen them all. Yeah, there was nothing to see, but there's a lot to see right here. Next. There, looking out over old Athens, if you see down there, there's a load of heathen temples down there. As Paul's spirit was stirred within him, the 17th chapter of Acts, it would still be stirred because there's more of it now than ever. They hadn't changed a bit. Next. There's the Colosseum in Rome working on it. Next. That's supposed to be the location of the church at Corinth. But all you can see is just fluted columns and old stones. And that doesn't go back near far enough. That is not the remains of the church at Corinth. It may be in the location, but those are not the remains of the church at Corinth. We don't even know they had a building. Next. There again, there you have it. Still the same Corinth. Next. Now that's back at Mars Hill. And that big plaque there, bronze plaque, in Greek, that's the sermon of Paul in Acts 17. And there were a bunch of people around there watching, looking at it, didn't know what it was, and I read it to them. they did a bunch of Americans. So anyway, I was kind of home free in Greece, unlike other countries. Go ahead. And then there, again, there's the Colosseum. You can see down in where the animals were. The floor is partially gone there. Next. Ah, that's the Vatican at Rome. See all those statues? They go all the way around. Every one of those columns has got a statue. That column is a phallic symbol, and you got your heathen god right there. They claim they're apostles and the saints, but all they are is a Roman gods and Greek gods with different names to them. Next. That obelisk, that came from Heliopolis in Egypt. That was used in sun god worship in Heliopolis, Egypt. Heli, sun, city of the sun. And on the top, you can't see it, but there's a globe and a cross, just like there is. There's the top of St. Peter's Cathedral, and it's got a globe and a cross, just like most Baptist churches have got on their buildings today. Just like that. But that this came. They brought it up. Pope brought it up, I think, in the 16th century. And I think some people died bringing it up, too. Bringing up a big granite thing, and they set it right in front of the Vatican. Why would you want something that's been used in sun god worship if you weren't worshiping the sun god? And that's exactly what they're doing next. It was just all this scaffolding, building, working over the front of St. Peter's. Next. This is where the big altar is in there. And this goes down under there. All these doors, I wanted to show those. This is where all of the bishops and the cardinals go to confess their sins to guys behind those doors. Next. So-called Peter. See that halo around his head? That's a helo. That's a sun. That's who his foot is practically wore out from him kissing his foot. It's right in there in St. Peter's Cathedral. And that box, they got a big money box there. You better believe that. And there's that foot right there. It's the toes were practically wore off on it. All right, next. I didn't kiss it. That was just a notice of the Pope doing some stuff back then. Next. There's the statue of Arnold of Brescia. You can't see his face. That's the robe that they wore then. And all on all four sides of that, they've got Italian that is honoring Arnold for his preaching on religious liberty and political liberty, and that whole roundabout there, that's all there to honor only Baptist preacher I know of that's got a memorial to him like that. Even Spurgeon don't have one like that. Next. That is Constantine, a statue of Constantine. This is in Milano, Italy, northern Italy, and that's where Constantine was from. And in this Catholic church here, they had just finished a stone that's got there from 313, the Edict of Toleration that was put forth by Constantine. All right. Yeah, there it is. That's all in Italian there. But that's what that's talking about. Talking about that edict that legalized Christianity. Next. Well, I think we started again.
That was it.
That was it. All right. My. We went a little over, not much. All right, if you got questions, comments, be glad to talk to you anytime. May the Lord bless you all.